Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio. Hey, everybody, and welcome to Movie Crush, Friday interview edition. I'm sitting here with the wonderful Annie Reese, fellow colleague, fellow podcaster. How you doing, Annie?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Chuck?
I'm great.
Yeah?
You guys know Annie from the Slasher Roundtable episodes. You educated us on The Final Girl.
Yes.
Or at least me. Uh-huh. Everyone else probably like, duh.
Right. Did you continue? I thought about that later. Did you continue your watching of slasher movies?
A little bit. I watched Black Christmas after we recorded.
Yeah.
Which I loved.
Yeah, it's great. It's intense.
Yeah, it was a good one. And I think I said this on one of the other shows. The heavy breather call or whatever.
Yeah.
It got really pretty extreme.
It really did.
It was upsetting. I thought it was just going to be like, oh, what are you doing? What are you wearing? And
exactly.
It was like, it got really ugly.
It did. It makes you feel unsettled, gross inside, I guess.
Yeah. And especially for the time, I thought, man, I'm surprised it kind of went that far.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had that too, because I feel like our movies these days are more violent often. Mm-hmm. But seeing that, I had a moment of, wow.
Yeah. And then also, and you made the Christmas Story?
Yeah, exactly.
This is the same guy?
Yeah, interesting tensions around Christmas, I suppose.
Yeah. That's a weird 1-2 punch.
Right.
So, Annie, first of all, we might as well go ahead and plug some stuff that you're in.
Yeah.
Right off the bat. You are co-host of Saber.
Yes.
With Lauren here in the office.
Mm-hmm.
For people that don't know what Saber is all about, why don't you give them a little tour?
A tour. Well, we talk about all things food and drink, science, history, culture, and sometimes we're fortunate enough to travel.
Yeah. What are some of your cooler trips?
We just did Hawaii.
Wow.
We're in the middle of that mini-series right now.
Should talk about spam?
We have talked about spam, but, you know, the interesting thing about Hawaii is their cultural cuisine has such a footprint that a lot of the foods that you would think of when you think of Hawaii, we had already covered before we ever went to Hawaii.
Oh, really?
So we'd already done spam and pineapple,
sure.
Mai Tai.
Yeah.
But there's plenty of things to talk about when it comes to Hawaii, like coffee, which was a huge episode.
Oh, yeah. Kona coffee?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So that was really fun. We've done Asheville and New Orleans.
Both nice.
Also really cool.
New Orleans is great.
Oh, yeah.
Like one of the cities that maybe more so than any other American city feels so uniquely itself.
Yeah.
It's not like anywhere else.
Right. It has a distinct presence.
Yeah. It feels very European and sort of spooky.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's a cool town.
Yeah. Any movie or show set in New Orleans automatically has this kind of vibe with it.
You feel it walking around.
Yeah,
it, like it feels like a city of ghosts, and I don't even believe in ghosts.
Yeah, I know. I'm the same way. I take all these ghost tours. I'm like, I don't believe it, but I feel something.
Then why am I creeped out?
Yeah, exactly.
The hair on the back of my neck says otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Where can they find Saber? Like what days of the week do you guys publish?
We do Wednesday, Friday, and the occasional odd hair Saturday publish,
you know,
if we have content that we think we've got to get this out there. And you can find us wherever you find your podcast.
That's right.
Yes.
And how are things going over at Stuff Mom Never Told You?
Well, there's no shortage of things to talk about over there.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. Surprise, surprise. For people who listen to this show, there are certainly a lot of topics we do, like we did the feminism of Alien.
Yeah, I need to listen to that one.
Oh, I could have gone on and on.
I got to check that out.
Oh, I had been waiting ever since I started on that show to talk about that. And finally, it was the 40th anniversary.
Yeah, it's perfect.
It was there. And luckily, everyone indulged me.
Who all was on that? Did you have special guests or was it just
it was pretty much just me, like, and another thing. While my co-host was, like, nodding patiently.
Right. Mm-hmm. Interesting. That's cool that show has gone through a lot of changes over the years with hosts.
Mm-hmm.
Our old friend Kristen and Caroline, of course, did such a great job.
Uh-huh.
But I think y'all are doing wonderful work over there and, like, keeping the spirit alive.
Yeah, thank you.
It's an important time for a show like this.
Oh, my gosh. It really is. There's all this talk about the Equal Rights Amendment right now. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm researching. And political scandal and how it's different for men and women.
Is it?
It is.
You saying there's a double standard?
I know. It's shocking, isn't it?
It is shocking. and I also want to talk really quickly before we get going on Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse,
yes.
which I'm so excited to
yes.
talk about. I want to talk about Annie and the City.
Oh, yeah.
We talked to Paul, and I'm trying to remember. This may come out actually before the Lighthouse Roundtable we just did. But Annie and the City is a movie that you starred in and co-wrote with Paul here, who's been on the show a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Casey was a cinematographer.
Yeah.
There's, you know, our offices make appearance. Other coworkers make appearances.
Yep.
And I need to watch the whole thing. But when I got the email the other day that Paul said it was on Amazon Prime, I knew I had to leave soon. But I was like, I got to at least get a sense of it. So I immediately hit play on my laptop and watched like 15 minutes before I had to go. And I loved what I saw. And I can't wait to see the rest of it.
Yeah, they, as you know, our coworkers do fantastic jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw it, I was like, I knew it was going to be great, but
uh-huh.
just the work they put in and the attention to detail was amazing.
Yeah. So what's the movie about? Give your summation.
It's about somebody, and this was a really odd part of that movie, was playing me, but not quite me.
Sure.
So it's about a young woman in the city. In Atlanta, specifically, Atlanta is a very important part of the story.
It is.
Just trying to find any sort of meaning or direction
mm-hmm.
or
connections.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of feeling isolated, and part of that is how our world works now, but also part of it is her specifically,
mm-hmm.
and just trying to find any sort of direction, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, well, you know, she's got the mom character being like, you've got to put yourself out
yeah.
there. Well, I am out there. It's the world we live in. And a lot of, what is that called? Gentrification.
Yes.
Yeah. Look at that happening alongside her story.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's A-N-N-E-Y in mm-hmm. the city. You can get it on Amazon Prime for free.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can rent it for a couple of bucks.
Yep.
And hats off to you guys. It's just, you know, it's really easy to talk about doing projects.
Yeah.
Making a movie is certainly at the big end of the project spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard to do.
Yes.
Very hard to see it through.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone did it, you know. It's not easy.
No, it was and, you know, we were doing it outside of our day jobs,
yeah.
as it were. And just to see the planning that went into it and the dedication of everybody to make it happen.
I know. And I can't – like, I have to admit, I kept waiting for the update of, you know, man, we kind of quit
right.
doing it. We kind of scrapped it. But, like, everyone saw it through.
Yeah. I've been on so many projects that have done that.
Yeah, it's really easy to let happen.
Right.
You know, a
mm-hmm.
week or two goes by, you lose some enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
So I think credit to all of you for keeping that fire burning and, like, in finishing and getting a movie distributed.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really cool to see it in theaters. We played it at a local theater.
I was so mad. I was out of town. I wanted to go see it at the Plaza.
It was cool.
That was a lot of fun, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of our coworkers were the audience, so it was a good audience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's nerve-wracking too, though, right?
Oh, I sat in the very back and, like, hunched at the bottom of my seat.
Yeah. I used to occasionally, when I made short films back in the day, we'd have these screenings around Atlanta, and I would just be a wreck.
Yeah.
A nervous wreck.
Yeah. Paul texted me and he said, you know, are you coming? And I said, yes. I'm just going to be kind of absent in the back, but I'll be there.
Yeah. That's a good feeling, though. It's fun.
Yeah. It was really fun. And a lot of our coworkers have cameos that were fantastic, including producer Ramsey.
There he is. He just woke up. Hi, Ramsey. All right, so let's talk about Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Boy, I'm glad you picked this because it allowed me to watch it again. Like, it gave me a good reason to watch it again.
Yeah.
And I think I realized this is – it may be my favorite superhero movie of all time.
Me too. Me too.
I get to right up there. And the fact that it's animated, is not a, like a disqualifier. Like, I don't think you have to put it in its own thing and say, well, this is an animated one compared to like live action.
Right.
It's so good.
It's excellent. And thanks again to producer Ramsey, who I was struggling so much with this decision. And he just
of what to pick?
Yeah. And he sort of just said to the point, you should do Spider-Man at the Spider-Verse because you saw it like 5 times in theaters.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What else was on the list? I know Alien was.
Alien. I had a bunch of – I have – when it comes to favorites, I have my favorite – you know, MCU movie, or my favorite Star Wars movie, my favorite dramatic movie, my favorite comedy movie. So
trust me, I know it's a very unfair thing to say. What's your all-time favorite movie? That's part of the fun of my side of this.
Yes, exactly.
Getting to see people squirm.
To struggle so hard. But I thought this was a great one because I walked into this movie. I'm a huge superhero fan, first of all. I grew up reading comics.
Mm-hmm.
But Spider-Man was never my thing.
Okay.
I did watch the cartoon, but that's more because my brother did. And in the past, decade or so, before the most recent MCU Spider-Man came out, we've had 6 Spider-Man movies, like, rebooted.
Yeah.
Three different dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't even have plans to see this movie.
Did you see all those movies?
I did.
And what are your thoughts on the 3 dudes? Rank them in order.
Okay. Tom Holland.
He's so great.
He's great.
He's really nailed it.
He's great. The scene in Homecoming where you just remember how young he is and he gets kind of choked up and he's trying to convince himself he's Spider-Man. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, he's number one. And I guess Tobey Maguire.
Yeah.
Andrew Garfield.
Yeah. Poor Andrew Garfield.
Yeah.
Those movies weren't great.
No. They really weren't. And I was just thinking the other day about how the first Spider-Man with Sam Raimi and Tobey Maguire, that came out right after September 11th.
Oh.
And there was the Twin Towers and that one shot with the web between it. And the song at the end, people were just crying.
Yeah.
This was such a big cultural moment.
Yeah. I mean, I love those Tobey Maguire movies. The third one wasn't great. I liked one. I loved two. I thought two was the best.
Yeah.
With Alfred Molina as Doc Ock.
Yeah.
But I have to say, this version of Doc Ock is my favorite.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And that's something I kind of love, but I know some people don't like, is that we have this cultural understanding of these characters. Generally, people know Doc Ock. Maybe that's all you know, but Spider-Man and Doc Ock.
Uh-huh.
So I love when creators can play with a trope or expectation because they know we're thinking of this one thing, of this character we love.
Uh-huh.
But what if we saw it imagined in this other way?
Yeah.
And how could it look and still be respectful and be that character and be frightening and intimidating?
Oh, she was such a badass.
Oh.
And very, like, scary. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when she morphs and puts on the goggles and the hair goes up.
Yeah.
And the character itself with all the tentacles, it allows you to do so much.
Yeah.
With, you know, using them as legs and arms and also weapons. It's just like – it's such a palette to work from.
Yeah. And a lot of criticisms of previous Spider-Man movies have been, there's too many villains, focus on one villain.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought this was a great, you've got Fisk, who is dominating the screen, just this big black hole.
Yeah.
And then you have her. And I felt like they were both excellent villains.
Yeah. There's a lot of, I mean, there's Green Goblin is in this.
Yeah.
This weird, like, badass version.
Mm-hmm.
There's Scorpion.
Mm-hmm.
There's Prowler.
Oh, yeah.
Who is super scary.
Yes.
In this movie.
Yeah. And one of the things I love about this movie is the soundtrack and score.
Mm-hmm.
And he has great score cues.
Yeah.
That I love when they're later adapted into Miles' theme.
Uh-huh.
And then it just shows with music that this is his origin story. His uncle is a part of his origin story.
Yeah.
So good.
You have Kingpin.
Yes.
Of course.
Yes.
I think Liev Schreiber is the voice.
Yeah, and I think he said he stuffed tissues in his mouth to make it sound like he'd had his nose broken several times.
All right.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Why not?
I love the second he walked on screen and his shoulders just take up the whole thing. And it could look silly, but it just looks so great seeing it visually.
Well, let's talk a little bit. I mean, we're going to talk about the visuals throughout because it's just off the charts how amazing this movie is visually.
Yeah.
And the sound.
Mm-hmm.
Directed by Bob Perschetti, Peter Ramsey, and Rodney Rothman. from a screenplay by the great Phil Lord and Rothman, and from Lord's story. And I didn't know this because I was not a comic book kid. Well, I was. It's embarrassing. And I've talked about this before. I read Archie and Richie Rich mainly.
Those are great.
They were great. I don't know why I never got into – no one ever exposed me to it, I guess, superhero comics.
Right.
Because I'm sure I would have loved it. Mm-hmm. But long way of saying I really don't know much about this backstory. And so I read up about Miles, the character of Miles, and it was created in 2011. You probably know all this stuff. By Brian Michael Bendis and then an artist named Sarah Pacelli, an Italian artist. Mm-hmm. And she was the first to illustrate Miles Morales in The Ultimate Spider-Man. And, you know, diversity and inclusivity is so important.
Yeah.
And we're seeing so much of that now, which is great. But it's you can't overstate how important that is to a kid.
Yeah.
And a kid, a person of color, to see mm-hmm. that representation on screen mm-hmm. and to get their own heroes.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
Absolutely. We talk about that all the time on Spinty, the power of seeing yourself.
Yeah.
And it's something that I hadn't even realized as a woman. Mm-hmm. this is embarrassing, but I love being on a feminist show because everyone asks, what's your take on this? Go see this movie. Tell mm-hmm. me what your take is.
Right.
And everyone was telling me, you got to go see Wonder Woman. And I cried and all this stuff. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to cry. And I got teared up in the first, 2 minutes.
In Wonder Woman?
Yeah, just because it was all these strong women that wasn't focused on their looks. And that's all it took.
I get teared up at stuff like this as a white man because I know what a big deal it is.
Yeah.
And I'm an empath. Mm-hmm. So, I think about a little, African-American boy or Puerto Rican, because I think the character is of mixed race.
He is, yeah.
And just seeing a mixed race character is new and unique.
And they switch back and forth in Spanish and English.
Yeah. And I just picture these little kids watching this stuff and, I get choked up.
Yeah.
Because it's a big deal. People that don't think it matters are wrong.
Absolutely wrong, yeah. And I love that sometimes it can feel really forced right now, unfortunately. Uh-huh. But this didn't feel that at all. It was just so naturally done.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
And Miles is such a great character.
Yeah.
He's just such a – it's interesting because I thought as compared to Peter Parker, Miles is way cooler. But he's still they didn't make him a ladies man or he's cool, but he's still sort of an outcast in a way.
Yeah.
And he's still nervous.
Yes.
Which is an important trait, I think.
I think one of the writers described it as the sweetest swagger you can imagine. Yeah.
That is totally it.
Yeah.
A little bit of swagger, but just adorable.
Yeah.
And his family is just great.
Yes. That's one of the things I love about this movie is because comic books – notoriously no parents around or whatever, but he has a really good family unit. And family is a huge part of the story and mm-hmm. his story specifically.
Yeah.
So it was refreshing to see something different than we all know Peter Parker's origin story. I kind of love that took a back seat.
Yeah.
And this was a different, totally different story.
Yeah, I love how they played with the origin story thing.
Yeah.
Because, there are always complaints do we need to see another Spider-Man origin story? Mm-hmm. So they just did every character got their own with that little refrain of, well, let me tell you about it. My name is, Gwen
Let's
Stacy.
Let's do this one last time.
Yeah, it's so fun. Yeah. It's just that they had such a sense of humor about it. Mm-hmm. And this won the Best Animated Feature at the Oscars. And I'm sure you, everyone else and me, when that category came up, it's Pixar's The Behemoth.
Yeah.
And everyone's just please just give it to Spider-Verse. Mm-hmm. Clearly the best movie. Mm-hmm. And it felt it sounds so corny, but it felt like a win for all of us.
It did. Because it was against Incredibles 2, which was also pretty good.
Great movie.
Yeah.
This is the first non-Disney Pixar film to win that award when against a Pixar film since 2006.
Wow.
So that's how much Pixar Disney dominates that category.
Right.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And it – from the opening credits – because, again, I went into this movie completely jaded and thinking, okay. it's just the way it starts and it zooms in through the Sony logo. Mm-hmm. And it's like you're entering another dimension. And even though it's just the opening credits, something in my brain was already like, oh, yeah, this is going to be
The Universal Pictures lady, they tweak that and it does that skitsy thing. And as soon as I had the same reaction, because I didn't know much about this movie and I wasn't primed to see it. Mm-hmm. But after the buzz came out, I was like, oh, well, I guess I do need to see this.
Right.
And they do. They set the tone so early. Yeah. Like, this is something that you've never seen before.
Yeah. And the art, which we've been talking about, it was built specifically for this movie. One of the refrains around the animation of this movie was, if it's not broke, break it. They wanted it to look not like a cartoon and not like CGI, but in between, like a comic book has come to life.
Oh, man, they nailed it.
I would dare anyone listening to this, watch this movie, freeze frame it any second.
Yep.
And it is a work of art.
It's funny. I have a note in here that says pause at any point.
Yes.
And it looks like something that you would frame for your wall.
Yes.
Like literally any – just randomly close your eyes and you could frame that as art.
Absolutely. I did it last night. I was watching it last night, and I paused it a couple of times.
Yeah.
And every time I thought, I would hang that up.
Yeah.
That's great.
Like one of the best looking films I've ever seen. And they although I wasn't prepared when I was in the theater, you know, they have a lot of the dot work. What is it called here? Because I don't know any of – because I'm not a comic book person. I know none of these terms.
So a lot of people call it Band-Aid dots.
Yes.
But what they were actually doing was halftones with like CMYK, I think.
Uh-huh.
And they were doing this to create their version of focus and depth. So a lot of people saw that and mistook it for bad 3D.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. But
I thought I was in the wrong theater house.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, did I – is this – because it looks – yeah, it looked like 3D.
With your not wearing the glasses.
Yeah, so I even got up.
Did you?
Yeah, because I didn't know. I didn't know. I hadn't read anything.
Uh-huh.
So I thought, oh, shit, I walked into the 3D version.
Uh-huh.
And I went out and I checked and it was not. And then I realized, because the other stuff was really sharp.
Right.
It's like, okay, this is a technique.
Yeah, they're doing something.
And I felt like a dumb shit.
No, a lot of people reacted that way. And it's also meant to mimic when screen printing or printing for comic books, how the overlay wouldn't match.
Yes.
So it's another way of being more like a comic book.
Uh-huh.
And it gets worse. The effect gets worse the more stressed Miles is. So things come more into focus when he's not stressed. And then the background goes more out of focus when he is stressed.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That has an overall effect on the viewer.
Yes.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you even realize it. It's like a subconscious thing probably.
Yeah, I didn't pick up on it until I think someone said it to me. But it's
until
really –
your fourth viewing in the theater.
Yes. It's really apparent though once you pick up on it.
Yeah.
And another thing they did is Miles is animated at 12 frames per second.
Okay.
As opposed to the general 24 frames per second.
Oh.
So that means that his – motion lingers longer, and there's no motion blur in this movie.
Right.
So that's also another way they use to make it look more like comic art. But also there's the scene where Miles and Peter B. Parker finally get on the same page where they're swinging on webs together.
So great.
Miles gets up to 24 frames per second along with Peter B. Parker.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Is that the scene through the forest?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, that's such an exhilarating chase.
Yes.
Because that's when Ock is after them.
Mm-hmm.
And, boy, it's tense.
Yeah.
It's so thrilling.
Oh, yes. That's one of my favorite parts. This movie has a lot of great humor and lines. And I love a lot of the lines in that section.
Yeah. Yeah. God, it's good. Mm-hmm. The other term that I learned was Kirby Crackle.
Yep.
So explain to everyone what that is.
So Jack Kirby was a comic book artist, and Kirby Crackle was something that he did, very specific to him, that was meant to showcase energy So sometimes it's kind of like a lightning bolt thing, but a lot of times it's these dots,
yeah,
like these blob dots. Mm-hmm. So if you've seen Into the Spider-Verse, you know at the end of the movie or even the beginning, anything that's with that collider, mm-hmm. there are all these dots, and those are called Kirby dots.
Yeah. And once you know what it is and notice it, it's everywhere mm-hmm. in this movie.
Yeah.
To like great effect.
Yes.
Almost like bubbles.
Yeah. Kind of like little blobby
yeah.
bubble things.
And especially in the end, that final sequence is just like an explosion
yeah.
of Kirby crackle.
Yeah. And something else that I love that they did is there's seven different types of animation styles that they built seven different cameras mm-hmm. to be able to project them all in
really?
One. Yeah. So as the other spider people go home, uh-huh. this Penny jumps in, hers goes away, God. And that color goes away.
And I'm also crying at that scene.
Yes. It's so moving.
It's devastating.
Yes. But until it's just Miles and Kingpin, uh-huh. and then the only colors are red and black.
Yeah.
So it says all the other people go, their animation styles go with them.
Yeah, it was just off the charts with the creativity mm-hmm. and the intent. Like it wasn't. It's just clear there was so much thought put into every single like drawing of yeah. this movie.
Yeah, and those systems that they broke. One of them, they basically had puppets. These 3D puppets of characters that they could then draw on. And that's why if you look at the characters' faces, you can see line work that people drew onto that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And because of that, they had to recreate. There are certain systems in CGI you can just use for uh-huh. clothing and light and shadow. They had to recreate all of that.
Oh, just like prefab?
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
And they used about three times as many animators as you generally would use. So I think it was 177.
Wow.
And just to animate 1 second took a week.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's intimidating.
It is. But it really shows every frame in the movie is stimulating. It's just constantly
yeah.
stimulating and really beautiful. And at the same time, I know some criticism of it has been that it overshadows everything else, but
no.
I never felt that way at all.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
It all just is like hand in glove.
Yeah.
It fit with the music, and this has, you know, a very modern modern take, you know, on the score and the popular music that they used.
Mm-hmm.
It just it breathed life into – I mean, Tom Holland has done great, so it's not like
yeah.
Spider-Man is DOA or anything.
Right.
But it just breathes such life into this franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't wait to see more of this stuff.
I know, yeah.
I mean, the sequel, I think, is 2022.
Mm-hmm.
They have it slated for.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully now that they've invented all of this stuff, it won't be quite as difficult for them.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
I had no idea what I was in for. And this is a movie that exists in two levels. Is one, the first time viewing, it's one of those that you wish you could go back and see it for the first time again.
Yeah.
Because it was just so revolutionary and mind-blowing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also a movie that you can't wait to see over and over.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get that you saw it five times in the theater.
Yeah.
If I was young and single, I would have seen it five times in the theater and had no child.
Right.
But I've seen it like three times now because
mm-hmm.
I saw it again at home. I tried to show it to my daughter, but it got a little too intense. I kind of forgot.
Yeah.
It's a little much for a four-year-old.
Yeah. It's scary.
So that's on hold for a couple more years.
Mm-hmm.
But I had so much fun watching again the other night. You can see this movie 20 times and still see new stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And when I was researching for this, so many things I ran into. I've seen this movie several times now.
Uh-huh.
I hadn't noticed. I hadn't picked up on.
Yeah.
And it is the only movie I've ever bought as I walked out of a movie theater. I went online and pre-ordered it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's great.
I knew I had to have it. I knew it.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it in the beginning when they're doing the voiceover, seeing – and it's only a couple of minutes, but seeing the moments from the other Spider-Man movies.
Yeah.
But seeing them animated
yes.
in the style was so cool.
Yeah. I think that's one of the things that I love the most about this is – it feels really genuine, like the creators loved the source material.
Yeah.
And they were there with us fans who saw Spider-Man 3
mm-hmm.
and wondered why this was happening. happening?
Yeah.
And so to see that right in the beginning, recognition of, there's been some bad moments.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And to have fun with it, to recognize it, acknowledge that it happened, and it was kind of funny now looking back, you know?
Yeah, it was great. And the movie, like, again, is off the charts visually and with the sound, and it could have survived on that merit alone, but the story is so great.
Right.
Like, at the heart of this thing, strip all of that away, you have a really, really great story with the classic hero's journey and clear stakes and, like, real emotional stakes. Mm-hmm. Like, you're so invested in this kid.
Yeah.
And all of the spider people that we eventually meet, which I can't wait to talk about.
I know. Yeah, that's one thing. I, too, went into this movie. I'd seen the trailer, but that was about it. And I have familiarity with a lot of the Spider-Man, spider people, but just passing.
Same here.
So I didn't know that Chris Pine, the perfect Spider-Man, I didn't know he died. I didn't know he was going to die.
I didn't either.
So that moment was shocking to me. And it's so brutal and just over. And he is trying to pass on this, here's how to be a Spider-Man, here are the key things, right, before he dies to Miles. And that is so powerful.
Yeah.
And then Miles trying to live up to that the rest of the movie, this kind of perfect, idealized Spider-Man.
Yeah, I mean, Miles' journey, his hero's journey is so satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the payoff in the end when he finally comes into his own. Because, you know, they dole it out in little bits. He, you know, he learns a little bit how to swing.
Mm-hmm.
He learns how to do this. He's all the funny bits with, he can't unstick his hands. And he can't turn invisible on purpose. And
he can't do it on command.
That's such a funny moment. Yeah. Who's that guy, the actor?
Jake Johnson.
Yeah, I never watched that show that he was on.
New Girl,
But he's really funny.
He's hilarious.
Yeah.
I wasn't that familiar with him either, but I loved him. And again, I didn't know Chris Pine died.
Yeah.
So I thought they were the same actor
at
first, and it took a while for me to realize, oh no, that's a different person.
You have to think your way through this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like it's not that complex to where you can't figure it out, but like, you got to have your brain on.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah. One of the things I noticed later when people were like, oh, well, this is why this movie is so great. If you pay attention, there are all these clues that Miles exists in a world that is not our world. So there's the sequel to Shaun of the Dead. You can see a poster for that, the unmade sequel.
Or yeah.
Nick Kroll and John Mulaney's play is called Hi, Hello instead of Oh, Hello.
Yeah, I've got a bit. That's during the Times Square thing.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of funny little Easter eggs that I paused. The Seth Rogen movie.
Yes.
What's it called? Where is it? Seth Rogen, Hold Your Horses.
Mm-hmm.
Riding High in the Saddle is the tagline.
Love it.
There's Red Man Group instead of Blue Man Group.
Mm-hmm.
From Dusk Till Shawn, I guess that's the one you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Bridesmaid sequel. Did you catch that?
Oh, yeah, and it's like about baby showers.
Baby shower.
Yeah. The month is like December.
Yeah. And then Clone College with Abe Lincoln and John Kennedy.
I didn't notice that one.
Was one of the movies. It's fun to pause on that part and just sort of – the other good pause-worthy part is when the dad is scrolling through his phone contacts list.
Right.
Because I don't know. I'm sure all of those people are someone.
They're comic book people, yeah.
Okay,
artists.
I figured. Because I saw Jack Kirby.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was Ditko.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe
they're
both
in there,
And I was like, I'm sure the rest of those people are comic book artists or whatever.
Yeah. Just that attention to detail is
– it's fun.
Fantastic.
And comic book nerds, I'm sure that's just like,
yeah.
This is off the charts. Cool.
Yeah. I saw this movie for the first time with my parents. And another criticism I've seen is if you don't know anything about Spider-Man, this movie isn't for you. But they loved it. They were actually more confused by Wreck-It Ralph 2, which is all about internet culture.
Oh, okay.
So afterwards.
Yeah, I didn't see that one.
I mean, it's fun, but they didn't get
like
the viral video or memes.
There are a lot of like jokes like that.
Yeah, just internet websites.
Gotcha.
which, yeah, Backrub is what Google is called in Miles' universe.
What's it called?
Backrub.
Really?
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah.
That sounds creepy.
Indeed. But Peter B. Parker, I believe, is from Earth 616, which is our universe. I think so.
So Peter B. was the chubby second guy.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. The burnt out of Peter Parker.
Yeah. And again, that really lends itself to a great character arc and storyline because everyone in this movie has stakes.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just Miles' story.
Right.
It is his story, but it's also Peter B. Parker's story.
Yeah. And I love that they both have so much to learn from each other because Miles is a great reminder to Peter B. Parker of what Spider-Man can and should be, of what the beauty of being it and the power of being Spider-Man. And then Peter B. Parker, beyond, he just has these very straight to the point, you need baby powder in the suit, you know.
Yeah, it's very straight ahead.
Yeah, but he does have advice and he is in Miles' corner.
Yeah.
He's always standing up for him.
Their relationship grows through the film too.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite concepts in a movie is it's very satisfying, is the mentor student becomes the master. They both learn from each other. Mm-hmm. I've always been into movies like that.
I have too, and I love in that final battle, Miles uses stuff he learned from everybody. So that part where he kind of does this long sequence of jumping through things and crawling on the wall.
Annie's hands are going, but
yeah, I'm doing a whole thing.
She's doing a whole thing.
He learned that from the first Peter Parker.
Right.
Something he picked up there. And then, of course, the leg sweep he does at the end. Peter B. Parker.
That's right.
Yeah.
What's the line?
Leap of faith.
No, well, that line is great. But the don't look at the mouth. Wait, what is
watch
it?
Watch the hands.
Yeah, watch the hands. So great.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many great payoffs.
It's
staggering the number of like great little setups and payoffs there are character-wise throughout this movie.
Yeah. And there's so much foreshadowing of a lot of them, especially when it comes to the Prowler.
Yeah.
Having that payoff and it's so brutal and painful.
God, that moment when he has him on the roof of the house.
Yeah.
And he takes his mask off. It's just like, and this is a freaking cartoon.
Yeah.
And it's just so emotionally strong. So great.
Yeah.
And then he gets shot right afterward.
I know. And then the dad walks in and thinks Spider-Man did it.
It's just perfect.
Yeah. And I've read a lot of conversation around how Miles is othered, and you can kind of insert other for a lot of things. But, you know, when he's asking his dad, do you really hate Spider-Man?
Right.
And then he finds out Prowler is one of Spider-Man's arch nemeses.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't fit in the Spider-Man group because he's not ready. So just having that and that first scene where he sees the spider suit and it just looms over him and he's here in his like merchandise he purchased.
Yeah. So cute.
From Stan Lee.
Yeah.
Final voice acting.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Did he voice that?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if that was him or if they got someone.
No, it's him. It's his final voice acting. Not appearance, but I guess, yeah.
I wonder if they're going to fake any of that for future animated or like CGI create him for.
Ooh.
No, I think that would be a bad idea. So I hope they don't. But I could see someone thinking that's a good idea.
Yeah. I mean, maybe visually having representation wouldn't be bad. I would feel weird if there was a voice, though.
No, I think it would be totally weird.
Yeah. But then when he finally becomes Spider-Man and he the suit, his reflection takes it up. And that scene where he jumps off the building, he takes a leap of faith, that scene is called Rise Up from Hamilton because it's purposely shot so he's rising even though he's falling.
Wow.
Yeah. And then the glass breaks because he's still scared and he's still sticking.
Oh, that's right.
Breaks away.
God, it's so great.
Yes.
And the payoff with the dad at the end too is, there's so many funny moments from Miles blaming it all on puberty early on. It's one of my favorite bits.
Yeah.
And then the end when he hugs he hugs his dad and he's like, okay. Yeah. And then he catches himself and, you know, well, I look forward to working with you in the future.
Yeah. Still don't approve of your method, Spider-Man.
Yeah. And he's trying to like disguise his voice. Miles is just so adorable. Mm-hmm. Look forward to working with you and I love you.
Yeah. It's so perfect.
It is. It's great. I also like how they handled the Gwen Stacy thing because they didn't go into like the full-on romance of it all, which was nice. Like,
yeah.
They sort of laid some groundwork and that he was clearly, you know, smitten by her. Mm-hmm. But I think they handled it well. It didn't need to go that much into it.
I agree. I think that would have – Miles' story and him becoming Spider-Man – was big enough. I don't think we needed.
Yeah, and Gwen didn't need, you know, that sort of reduces her to this sort of
love
standard
interest.
Trope of the love interest. Like she had her own powerful storyline.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the writers just did a great job with her story as well.
I do too. She was the most competent spider person in the room, but in a way where she still had vulnerability.
Yeah.
So that was refreshing to see. I feel like a lot of times when I see a strong female character,
right,
they're really one-dimensional. But she didn't feel that way at all. She felt fully realized. And I could connect with pretty much every character, which is great.
Yeah, even Spider-Ham?
Spider-Ham. Well, you know, I love bad puns, so yes.
Okay. I got you. Well, we'll get to Spider-Ham in a minute because, God, that's just wonderful.
Yeah.
They have a bunch of great set pieces and action sequences, and I feel like they did them all in their own way. Like, they're all distinct from one another. But that first big one that you get – with that Green Goblin fight is just like – and you had already – like it's already clear this movie is a visual like masterpiece. Mm-hmm. But then that is so like off the rails bonkers.
Yeah.
That first action set piece that it's just like, what the fuck am I even watching now?
Right. I remember that scene very clearly because that's – you know, he's been bitten and he's investigating and you're kind of on edge because it's quiet.
Yeah.
And then his back is to that – the like I don't think it's windows, but it's just open space. And you see lookouts.
Yeah.
The words display.
Yeah, the way they use text in this movie is so cool.
So good. And it doesn't start happening until after he's bitten by the spider.
Oh, yeah.
So that was a really visually arresting way to do the spider sense, that he could sense something was wrong. And I remember that moment so clearly because it was another thing of, oh, whoa, this is not like anything else I've seen before.
Yeah.
And I convinced a lot of friends to go who also weren't into Spider-Man and went very begrudgingly. And by that point, they were all in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a movie that you definitely proselytize about. Like, and I think that's why it did so well. Because this is a movie you leave and you start texting your friends, go see this like as quickly as possible in the theater.
Right. Yes. Before it goes. But that action sequence and the way the camera follows Miles as he kind of falls and sticks on one thing and then falls. And then seeing Peter Parker just so confidently do that little move where he got up to the ceiling.
Yeah, and Green Goblin is almost stop motion at times.
Yeah.
Kind of herky-jerky.
Mm-hmm.
It's the way they blended all these animation styles was just like on paper I would have thought like, nah, you probably shouldn't do that.
Yeah. Yeah, because they have, once you get introduced to Penny Parker, there's anime on the same thing.
That was awesome.
Yeah, yeah. The black and white with Spider-Man Noir. But they do have hand-drawn things as well. So some freeze frames, you'll freeze it, and especially with early Peter Parker, those are hand-drawn.
Oh, really?
Like the pow or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like when the thwack.
Yes.
Was it Thwip or Thwack?
Thwip.
Yeah, Thwip, when he was teaching him how to do the web slinging.
Yes.
Thwip.
Yep, and Bagel, of course, when he throws the bagel.
Oh, that's right.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. So plot-wise, you know, he gets this thumb drive, the goober.
Yep.
And it's a very simple story, you know, as far as that stuff goes. Mm-hmm. Like the story is really about the hero's journey.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the plotty stuff, you know, it's like a thumb drive that'll save the world.
Yeah, pretty much. And then trying to get all these alternate spider people home.
Yeah. Once they introduce the idea of the different timelines, or I guess the different verses,
mm-hmm.
verses, universes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I didn't see that coming.
Yeah. And I thought they did it really well because I can see how that could have been really confusing, both visually and storyline-wise, but it really wasn't. And I felt they moved through it quickly. Here's mm-hmm. this. Makes sense. Let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of all you need to know.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they go to Alchemex,
mm-hmm.
and this is still early on in Miles's transformation.
Yes.
Because he can't control his invisibility,
mm-hmm.
and that whole scene, stealing the computer.
I love that.
And
that's
when you get introduced to Doc Ock.
Yes.
It's that whole sequence is great.
Yeah. I love it. I love how he's carrying the monitor and yeah. the
Well, good news. We don't need this.
Yeah, I love that line so much.
and that leads to the big forest chase, which is one of my other like favorite set pieces in this movie.
Yeah, it's really stunning.
Thwip release.
Release. And that's when the frame rate so the two characters are out of frame sync for most of that, but then at the end they become in sync with the frame rate.
This means I'm going to have to watch it again.
Yeah.
Like
I'm
soon.
Definitely recommending that you watch it again now that you know all of this stuff because you'll pick up on so much more.
This is a movie I'm going to watch over and over throughout my life. Also in that forest scene, what makes the payoff so great is that's when we meet Gwen as Spider-Woman.
Yes.
And that entrance is just so – it's just like spectacular.
Yeah, the punk rock music cue.
Yes.
She comes in and she's just so confident and – does it, takes care of the problem very quickly. Oh, done.
Yeah. And this is a movie I think it's best if you don't know much about it almost
mm-hmm.
because there's so many surprises.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure if you're a big comic book nerd and you kind of knew all of this stuff and all these characters, it's satisfying as well. But
yeah.
to not know any of this and to have it unfold and you're like, oh, wait a minute, there's a Spider-Woman now. This is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then when they go to Aunt May's mm-hmm. and take the tour of the underground lair
yeah.
and she passes out those name tags, you might need these. And mm-hmm. you're like, what? What
yeah.
is she talking about? And then everybody comes in and it's just overload.
Yes.
Like both of us can't stop smiling right now in the room talking about it.
Because it cuts to first Nicolas Cage
yes.
as Spider-Noir, like, perched on apparently nothing
yeah.
with wind blowing.
Where's the wind coming from?
Wherever I go, the wind follows.
And then when you hear it and realize the realization that that's Nick Cage.
Yes.
It's perfect.
It was great casting.
Oh, my God. It's like, what are they trying to do to an audience? Like, oh, you thought you were having fun?
Yeah.
Well, how about 1930s Spider-Man with fucking Nick Cage?
We're talking about some real hard boilers. Yeah.
What's his line about the cube at the end, the Rubik's Cube?
Oh, yeah. I don't understand it, but I will.
I'm taking this with me.
It's
and then
beautiful.
Penny Parker, which is so great.
Yeah. I love – she just – they feel so genuine. I'm almost shocked that they pulled it off. But
I
that
know.
Kind of character could have come off very – either annoying or just like, look at this anime character. But they used the anime style. She felt really badass, just like everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
A great member to have on the team.
Yeah.
It was really, wow, this is awesome.
Yeah, and I was amazed at how much you care about each of these.
Yeah.
Like, with so little.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were so efficient in making you care.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the scene where, at the end, where her robot gets smashed or dies or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like brutal.
I know. You know, they originally thought about killing her.
And, oh, really?
And then they were like, nah, that's going to be too.
Can't do that.
That's going to be too tough. My heart hurt reading that.
Yeah.
No,
I would have been so mad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Mm-mm.
And then we get Spider-Ham.
Spider-Ham.
The great John Mulaney.
Oh, yes.
Who was just cherished.
Yes.
Anyway, perfect for this.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure I saw an interview with him where he said he didn't know that's what he was auditioning for. And they were just like, be funny. And he was cursing all the time until he finally asked, what's the rating of this movie?
Oh, really?
It's PG. So they couldn't use any of it.
Now, this is a dumb question. Is Spider-Ham, like, was that a comic character? Or was this invented for this.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yes. No spider ham. I believe he has origins all the way back to the 60s, but he's first in the 80s, I think, was when spider ham.
Wow.
Yeah. Peter Porker and his uncle Frankfurter. Yeah.
So had his own run.
Oh, sure.
And were they jokey, I guess? It was sort of a fun take on it.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's one of my favorite things about it that they pay homage to in the movie is there was sort of a running joke that maybe behind the mask he is Porky Pig.
Oh, right.
And so at the end when he says, that's all,
yeah,
folks.
Are we allowed to say that?
Legally? but yeah, that's actually the biggest question I've gotten from friends and family who've seen it and who know, Andy probably would know about comics.
Right.
Is Spider-Ham a thing? And I'm like, yep. They're all things. The three other ones are more recent, I believe, but Spider-Ham is...
Goes back.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
One of my favorite parts of that scene when they... Well, you know, Miles finds out, we finally get, like, his purpose is revealed that he has to get them back to their own, you know, universe.
Mm-hmm.
Again, classic hero's journey. But when they're all introducing themselves and, like, can you do this? Can you do this? Can you do this?
Yes.
And Mulaney goes, can you float through the air when you smell a delicious pie? So funny.
It's really good.
Like, no one else could have played that.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Mulaney's voice is just so spot on.
Yes, very distinctive. That was one of the things I was most excited about even before I decided I'm probably not going to see this movie, but John Mulaney's in it. Maybe I should.
Right.
And then I don't know if you've seen the short at the end.
Post-credits?
Yeah, the John Mulaney. Well, there's the like post-credit scene and then there's like a short with John Mulaney.
Oh, no.
Well, it's really silly and just a bunch of puns and him in a battle with Crawl Daddy or whatever.
Oh, man, I got to see that.
But one of my favorite things about it is he gets pulled out of his timeline, which is the timeline of animation on a computer screen.
Oh.
So it's like a play on, you know, timeline. Because then he starts to – you don't really see him get pulled out of his world. It's very short to the point by the time he tells his story. Or he doesn't really So he gets pulled. He's getting pulled into the other dimension. And he says, I hope I haven't missed the first 67 minutes, which is when he comes into the
movie. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
I love it. It's so good.
Oh, I got to check that out. So that's after everything plays?
Yeah, but it's not on – if you're watching on Netflix, I don't know that it's on Netflix. It's on DVD.
I did watch it on Netflix. Okay. Yeah. I might need to buy this on Blu-ray or something.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So we have the great fight with – at Aunt May's. Even Aunt May gets a little, you know, her moment, which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. Take it outside.
The great Lily Tomlin, national treasure.
Yeah.
And that fight is, like, awesome because it's tough to, you know, they're in a pretty confined space.
Mm-hmm.
And there are – how many people are in there?
I think so. There's five, maybe like 11.
Yeah. That's really tough to pull that off and make it not be confusing.
Yeah.
Which they managed to do, I think.
Yeah. And that's a really great – emotional roller coaster too, because that's when you found out about the Prowler and Miles is still in this very shaken emotional state, and having Peter B. Parker just trying to get him out of there, and it ends up, of course, the confrontation between his uncle and himself.
Yeah, you really like Prowler is such a scary character in this, but their relationship is so special.
Yeah,
like you root for Aaron.
Yeah.
You know, like it's sad when he gets killed.
Yeah.
Even though he's a total bad guy.
Right.
Like a really bad guy.
Yeah. But that's great story writing as well, the fact that you feel not only for Miles but for Aaron in that scene, that they were able to pull that off is really spectacular.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of in the third act here when everything starts sort of converging toward the end, you get some really fun roommate stuff.
Yeah.
Miles is, what is that? Is it a dorm or?
Yeah. Definitely dorm-like,
It's when they're all there and they get busted. And, and Spider-Ham goes, do animals talk in this dimension? Because I don't want to freak them out.
I love that line.
As if everything wasn't already so freaky.
Right.
So great.
And he's reading Spider-Man, the comic, as he looks up.
Yeah. And they're all, you know, they're all like basically connected to one another on the ceiling. It's such a fun team.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
It's such a weird mix.
Yeah, and they all contribute something so specific.
Yeah.
Art style, character story-wise, and it just works, and it's so fun to watch.
Can they top this in a sequel?
I don't know.
I just hope for, like, as good.
Yeah.
You know? There's no way it's a disappointment.
Yeah. It'll be hard because
this set the bar so high.
It really did. And just the fact that it was so unique and daring and fresh, it will be hard to have that same level. Because, I mean, the art is beautiful, and I'm sure if I see it in a sequel, I'm still going to be...
Yeah.
Oh.
But like we were saying, part of it was just...
That first time.
Yeah, just getting your mind blown.
Mm-hmm.
I remember walking out of the theater and just being like, wow.
Yeah.
It's like just mental stimulus overload
mm-hmm.
in all the right ways.
Yeah. And I too immediately texted all my friends and said, look, I got to go see this movie again. Will you please go with me?
You want to share it with people.
Yeah.
It's one
yeah.
of those things.
Yeah. And just talk about it at length.
That's right.
Afterwards.
Miles wants revenge, another sort of classic hero's journey type thing,
mm-hmm.
and he thinks he's ready. But you know, you gotta have that final obstacle,
yeah.
which is Peter basically saying like you're not ready,
yeah.
and tying him up
mm-hmm.
With the thing, and like he's so protective of Miles.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a sweet relationship,
yeah.
But you know, it's so sad. That's what makes it so satisfying when he busts out of there,
right? Yeah, because Peter B. Parker genuinely cares about Miles, and he had been his biggest supporter through mm-hmm. everything. Like, he can do it. Not a cameo. He can do it.
Right.
But he finally realizes he's going to get himself killed if I don't stop this. So
yeah.
it is a really caring moment for him, and for him to know this means I probably will die.
Yeah.
I won't go back to my universe, and that probably is the end for me. Makes it also really... powerful, powerful moment.
Yeah, and I love how everyone is, everyone wants to do it.
Yeah.
You know, there's that one scene where they're like, well, no, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
But Miles is the only one who can do it.
Yeah.
And it kind of reminded me of the Hawkeye, you've seen the latest Endgame, right?
Oh, of course.
Yeah. The moment with Hawkeye and Black Widow.
Yeah.
When they're battling to, like, sacrifice themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just such a hero trait.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw myself on the grenade.
They all raise their hands so excitedly, and Miles spends most of this movie trying to not be Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Which is another thing that makes it so satisfying.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the character arcs for all these characters are so great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even they introduce, what do you say, at the 67-minute mark.
Yeah.
The rest of the crew, and they all have satisfying arcs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's really pretty remarkable storytelling.
It is. And one of the things, going back to that criticism I heard of if you don't know much about Spider-Man, how this movie's not going to make any sense to you,
mm-hmm.
I feel like you can relate to these characters even if you haven't read their backs or their all of the comic books behind them.
Yeah.
There are certain things that we can just connect to. And I don't need to know that you were bitten by a radioactive pig or whatever.
Right.
I can just, you are a good, a well-written character.
Uh-huh.
I can relate to that.
Yeah.
And the fact that they were able to do it with so many characters in such little time.
Mm-hmm. It's very impressive.
It is.
I mean, these are classic themes. Peter B., you know, let's talk about the charity dinner scene.
Yeah.
When he confronts MJ.
Yep.
It's just brutal.
It is. It's so – I love that scene because it's awkward and weird,
mm-hmm.
but you want him to get some closure, but you know he can't because this isn't the right MJ.
Right.
And just to see it play out in this awkward, weird way where you feel sadness for him, but also it's silly.
Yeah.
He's going to bring her more bread.
Right.
Get you all the bread that you need.
Yeah.
But that's a great way without going back to his universe because we don't get to see many of these characters for too long in their home universes after they've gone through this journey. That's a great way to show he has overcome some of the things that have been holding him back.
Yeah.
And he does want to get back with MJ or maybe he does want to have children.
Right.
So I thought that was a good way of giving him a satisfying story as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And he does, at the end, it shows him going back, right?
Right, yep. He rings the doorbell. He's too lazy to go ring it, so he just shoots the web
swinger. I love that moment, too.
And his gut kind of pooches out.
There's so many great little moments like that.
Yeah.
Then we have our final battle, which is just epic. Each one of these characters has their own – they have their own distinct, like, place and purpose and personality.
Mm-hmm.
And you care about them all so much. Like, the final battle is just so, like, perfectly timed out.
Yeah.
It's like a Swiss clock.
Yeah.
How they play this thing out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's truly devastating when they're getting sent back.
Yeah. Like, oh no, the gang's getting broken up.
I know. You want to see, like, you want the gang to be together.
Yes.
But it's one of those movie things where, like, you know you can't.
Right.
You know as an audience member, it has to end.
Mm-hmm. And I love the fun team-ups they do, the different matchups.
Yeah.
So when Penny Parker is kind of getting beat up by Scorpion and Spider-Ham comes in.
Uh-huh.
You've got a problem with funny cartoons and just whammo, whammo, whammo. And then Spider-Man Noir comes in. Just all these different animation styles together that shouldn't work but somehow do.
Yeah. It was awesome. Ballsy to think that they could pull this off.
Yeah. The frame rate thing for sure, because people are pretty sensitive to frame rates. As you might remember around The Hobbit, like that being a big discussion point.
Sure.
So to go to a studio and say, we're going to try this frame rate thing and seven different animation styles. It's going to take forever.
Right.
We're going to break everything you have. Does that sound good? Yeah. Also, we're going to go with this unknown Spider-Man character.
Yeah.
Which in the comic world, people know about him, but like general populace, not so much. So
I didn't know, you know.
Yeah. It's quite stunning that it got made in some ways.
Yeah.
And that it worked as well as it did.
Yeah. And was just a smash hit.
Mm-hmm.
Very satisfying to see a movie like this win Oscars and, you know, break open the box office.
Yeah, get the recognition. I am interested to see, because, you know, we vote with our dollars in some ways, if this will lead to more movies like this, if its success will.
Yeah, like, what do you mean? Just crazy animated styles? Or
yeah, not trying so much to be hyper-realistic or
right.
But more of this is an art or not a cartoon, but something in between CGI and cartoon.
Yeah.
Or creating, because they really created their own thing.
Yeah.
And just
so original.
Yeah, more original ideas like that.
Yeah.
I would love to see that.
I would too. You know, this has such a great, satisfying ending.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about the scene with his father.
Oh.
But just so great. But that very end, anyone can wear the mask.
Yeah.
Such a great line. You could wear the mask.
Yeah.
If you didn't know that before, I hope you do now. Like, rarely can you, at the end of the movie, say, like, here's what it was all about, and we're just going to say it and not have it be, like, corny or whatever.
Right, yeah.
It was so great. It's like just – I get choked up even thinking about it.
Yeah, and he's just – that character is on the beginning of his journey, and it feels so fresh and new, and to hear this enthusiasm for it as – I feel like I could connect with both the old, burnt-out, washed-up kind of cynicism and then this – young, fresh, perhaps naive viewpoint. And it was really beautifully moving.
Yeah.
And that, Stan Lee, that was his biggest message, was anyone can wear the mask. This could be you. So to be able to do that, get to that core message of what he really tried to communicate with a lot of his work, to have that be the ending line and have it work and not be corny.
Right.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. And it's hard to not just sit there and think, like, he's talking to the little mixed-race kid in the audience.
Yeah, anyone who feels outcast, who hasn't seen themselves in this superhero, who never thought they could be a superhero, this is my message to you.
Yeah, and not, you know, obviously the mixed-race kid is directly on the nose, but like you said, I think this movie represents a lot of people.
Yeah.
Sort of the underrepresented in general through the lens of this kid, you know, with a Puerto Rican mom and a black dad.
Mm-hmm.
Just so, like, again, that matters so much. And to be able to state it that plainly and with such impact is like the perfect way to end this film.
Yeah.
That is the point.
Yeah.
If you didn't know that before, I hope you do now.
Yeah.
It's like that's what we were just trying to do here for 2 hours, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's so good.
It's great.
I'm really sensitive to writers. If I can get any inkling that you're trying to manipulate me emotionally, which you are, but if I can sense that you're doing it without earning it, I'm out.
I'm with you.
But if it feels genuine and like you've done the work, you've earned it.
They earned every bit of it.
Oh, they did.
Yeah. Such a wonderful film.
It is.
I can't wait to see it again already.
You should, because it's a holiday movie. They made it? Yes. There is a holiday CD you can buy or listen to that they use the actual actors recorded. So let's see. There's songs like Spidey, It's Cold Outside, Swinging Around the Mistletoe, Silent Night, You're Welcome, Joy to the World That I Just Saved.
Silent Night, You're Welcome. Yeah. That reminds me of another one of the great jokes in the movie, Smaller Moments, when Miles lands on the New York streets. And he's getting walked over, and he is like, could you just walk around me maybe? He goes, oh, okay, thanks, New York.
And that's a Stan Lee cameo. Stan Lee steps over
him. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, he's in the movie several times, actually. If you like any train, if you pause, Stan Lee is
really?
In.
Yeah. Ah, look at you.
Yeah.
You know, you got all those Easter eggs, huh?
Well, no, apparently not all of them, but a lot of them. I like how he gets hit by a drone at the end. That feels pretty appropriate.
What's this book you have here?
So I am a huge nerd, and clearly I love this movie. So I bought this book, The Art of the Movie, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. And you can literally flip to pretty much any page, and it's just a freeze frame of, like, how they did it.
That is very cool. It's like coffee table size.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It is so good.
Man, I'm going to have to buy that.
Yeah.
That's killer.
Yeah. I definitely want to get some art from this movie for my apartment.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Some, like, nice high-quality printing or something.
Yeah, and they did combine so much art, like the art styles, pop art, street art, and cubism, which is really interesting because cubism is like looking at a bunch of things from different viewpoints and combining them together. So it makes sense that when the interdimensional glitching or shifts happen, it's cubist because they're seeing it from all.
All that stuff was so cool.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
God, it's so good. Annie, we could talk about this movie for 8 hours.
I know.
Will you come on again and do another movie?
I would love to.
Will you be part of the gang here?
I've been waiting for you to ask, Chuck. we'll have our spider gang, Movie Crush gang.
Yes. Awesome. Well, think about what you want to do next, and we'll just put you in the rotation.
The rotation. Love it.
Awesome. Thanks, Annie.
Thank you so much.
Movie Crush is produced, edited, and engineered by Ramsey Yunt here in our home studio at Pont City Market, Atlanta, Georgia, for iHeartRadio.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.